Tonight we're going to make some declarations together. This is a declarative night together. There we go. And so I'm going to teach a little bit. If you don't know me, I'm Brent Locker, and I'm the pastor of Blazing Fire, along with my amazing wife, Suzanne. And I want to share a few things with you, but I'm going to keep it relatively short, at least relative to what's normal at Blazing Fire. And because what I want to do is I want us to take time to make declarations together tonight, to make them for yourself, for declarations for your own life, for your family, for all the way up to the world. But there's a couple things I wanted to say first. One, there's a few things that really God put on my heart to share with you. The first is this. If you want to have a great 2010 and beyond, go after Jesus with all you got. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but I'm going to tell you this. Intimacy is the key to everything. The one thing that David talked about in Psalm 27, verse 4, the one thing I ask, one thing I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to enjoy the sweetness of His presence, the goodness of His presence. That's the one thing that David couldn't do without. And that's one of the reasons why God said, hey, there's a man after my own heart. Even though David blew it like all the rest of us blow it. But God says, but there's a man after my heart. I can't help but bless him. I can't help but have my favor rest upon him. Whatever you're going through, intimacy with Jesus is the key. Is the key to moving through that, to not getting stuck in places, in a pit, or into despair or depression or any of those things which have nothing to do with you as a follower of Jesus. But I will tell you, what does intimacy look like? How do you do that? Well, I can tell you how it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by us feeling like we need to be involved with about five or six more TV shows, you know. And you know what I'm saying? I can go on and on and on, but I could go on and tell you all the things that are not going to get you there. Because sometimes we go, well, I just don't know how to have intimacy with Jesus. But we keep going into busyness and distractions. This world's just got tons of distractions because it doesn't know Jesus. The world, the part of the world that doesn't know Jesus, all it has for you is more and more distractions. Not because they're trying to distract you, they just don't know any different. They're just like, well, this is the best we can do. We're just going to keep turning this stuff out. But intimacy requires time. If I tell Suzanne I love her, but I have no time for her, that's not gonna cut it for very long. And so I can't tell you how to make special times happen with the Lord, but I can tell you it happens when you're actually spending time with Him most of the time. You know? I know He can cut in and do something special even when we're not looking. That's fine. It's His prerogative to do that. But I'm telling you, most of the time, you're going to have something, you know, good encounters, some powerful encounters, new revelations when you're actually spending time with Him, which means you have to spend time with Him. How you do that, I don't know. That's up to you. If you play an instrument, the last couple of days I've been doing a lot of just keyboard, sitting at the window and just getting lost in Him and weeping at times. I love doing that. Not all of you necessarily are musicians, though, so I can't tell you how to do it for you. You can put on CDs. You can search the scriptures, but don't do it out of obligation. Don't do it out of duty, because you won't find Him there. You have to do it out of a heart that wants Him, that says, Jesus, how can I find you in this? And He says, oh, good, I'm so glad you want me. I'll show you. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. That's a huge key. We overlook Him all the time. I don't know why, but He lives with us to show us everything we long for. So ask for His help all the time. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to see things in here I haven't seen. Help me to hear God's voice in ways I haven't heard before. Ask Him all the time. Just ask Him, ask Him. Holy Spirit, help me. He's our counselor. I want to, in this thing about going after the one thing, I want to encourage you not to gaze on your shortcomings. Do not get introspective and start staring at your own shortcomings, but instead gaze on His all sufficiency. It's not about your shortcomings. It never has been. It never will be. We all have them. Jesus doesn't. And He says, just look at me. Everything I have is yours. My grace is enough for you. Don't focus on your weakness. Glory in His strength. Yes, we are all weak. That is what uniquely qualifies us all to need a Savior, is it not? Once we know we're weak, once we know that we can't do it, He says, good, 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 good. Now you know why you need me so much. Look at His strength. Look at His goodness. It's all for you. That was one thing, going after the one thing. Here's another one I want to encourage you with. God is absolutely 100% going to finish what He started in you. That's His promise. That's His promise to you. I'm not going to leave you in the middle of this thing. You have to understand, your life, you see it at a certain point, and you're looking at that point, and you're analyzing it from what you see, and He says to you, son, daughter, you haven't even gotten to the best chapters yet. It's not that He's still writing the book, because He's actually outside of the time. He already knows what is in the full book that's already written. He's not wondering. He's not guessing and seeing how you're going to end. He says, no, I'm going to make you finish strong. My Spirit in you is going to make you finish strong. But you need to know, son, daughter, you need to know that you're in the middle of the book. There's more chapters to come. Trust me. He says, trust me. I know how to write a good book. I know how to finish this thing so that the good guys win in the end. I know how to make sure that your life is the success that I have planned for it to be. Last Sunday, Bill Johnson was talking about this and about from Bethel Church in Reading, and he was talking about how God, who's outside of time, He knows what you need when you're here. He knows what you're going to need to get there, which is why He gave you the promise to hang on to, because He was already there. He's already there in the future. He's outside of time, so this time thing is what messes us all up, but He doesn't have time. He's outside of that. But He knows what you need to get from here to here. He has already been there, and He gives you the promise and anything else you need to get there. He gives it to you to get there because He's already been there. He's not wondering if you're going to get there. He's already been there with you. It's just you haven't seen it yet. He's that good. He's that amazing. And our part is to partner with Him. Oh, actually, this right here. Is it actually going?
Well, yeah.
Oh. Cool. Is this set up? Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Aaron. You rock. That's my son, Aaron. Except I'm not going to use it quite yet. Our part is to agree with God. I've just told you some amazing truths. The only way that you get to walk in peace and you actually get to walk in this journey with joy instead of anxiety and depression is you actually have to believe who God is. You have to believe what He's doing. You have to agree with Him. That's our part, is agreement. It's hugely important that we agree with Him. Mostly for our own health, you know, our own spiritual health. We have to agree with Him. Tonight I want to mention the Jesus as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We've already talked about that tonight, and I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. If you got your Bibles, turn to Revelation 5:5. We're just going to look at this. We're going to look at this lion for a moment before we make declarations together. The context of Revelation 5, before I read in verse 5, the context is they're in heaven. There is there's nobody to open the seals on the inheritance, and they're weeping. John is weeping because no one can open. We've got this inheritance, and no one can open it. No one has the right or the authority to open that. But then in verse 5, one of the elders says to John, "Do not weep. Look, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. And so he will open the scroll and its seven seals." What that means is that now there's access to the inheritance. Whereas before there was no access, Jesus opened the scrolls. There is now access to the full inheritance of the kingdom. I'll talk in a minute about how he openly gives us that same access. Because that's one thing for him to have it. But if he's the only one that had it, that's good for him, not so good for us. Hosea 11. Verses 10 and 11. Yeah, that's in the midst of all those minor prophets. You know, those small ones that are all bunched together. So it's on page 1510, if that helps you. If you got my Bible. Hosea 11, verses 10 and 11 says, "They will follow Yahweh, the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come fluttering from the west, fluttering like sparrows from Egypt, like pigeons from Assyria." You can just see him. "And I shall settle them in their homes, declares the Lord." When I was looking up about lions, this is a couple of amazing facts I learned. Well, one very amazing fact is when lions roar, they can be heard for 5 miles. That's a pretty long ways, with no amplification other than their own vocal cords. And the best that people can figure, the best that whoever studies these things can figure out, is that the main reason a lion roars is to let people know it's there. I'm here. This is my presence is here. Makes total sense why Jesus would roar and why we roar. But he is here. Job 37, verses 2 to 5. And by the way, if this is too fast for you, you're not picking all this up, it's on podcast. It's free every week. Just go to our website, blazingfire.org. And you can pick these scriptures up later on there. Job 37, 2 to 5 says, "Listen, oh listen to the blast of his voice and the sound that issues from his mouth. His lightning is hurled across the heaven. It strikes to the extremities of earth. After it comes a roaring sound. God thunders with majestic voice. He does not check his thunderbolts until his voice resounds no more. Yes, certainly God shows us marvels and does great deeds that we cannot understand." So there's something about his roar that's also attached to the supernatural, that's attached to his power. I want to show you a clip that we actually saw a few weeks ago, if you were here that night. We did the Wizard of Oz. But I just think it's important that we get a visual of this, of his power. Just keep that picture right there. That's what Jesus has done to our enemy. We're going to talk about that right now, actually. This is what he has done. This is from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That was the white witch that Aslan the lion, the Jesus figure, was taking down. This is our Jesus. This is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is not a weakling. He's not a wimp. He's a majestic warrior. Now, Scripture doesn't just stop with saying that Jesus is the lion. It says that we are lions too. I want to read it to you from Numbers. Wow. Numbers 23. And this whole, the context of this one is where there's a ruler who wants a prophet to come and speak curses over Israel, and he won't do it. He says, well, I'll seek God and see what happens. And God, instead, he says, this is verse 20 says, the charge laid on me is to bless. I can't curse those you want me to curse. The charge that God has laid on me is to bless. And he goes on to say, he says, God, let me just go right from there. Verse 20, I shall bless and I cannot reverse it. I have perceived no guilt in Jacob, have seen no perversity in Israel. Yahweh God is with him. Isn't that interesting? No guilt, no perversity. Any of you guys read the Old Testament? Did God have a problem sometimes with their seemingly lack of holiness? How about all the time? But look at this. But God says, oh, someone's coming against my anointed. It's one thing for me to say to you, come on, let's go. Let's move up to where I've called you to move up to. It's an entirely something else for somebody else to try to curse my people. Oh, let me tell you what. Then God says through him, this is the way I see it. I have perceived no guilt in Jacob. I've seen no perversity in Israel. Yahweh is God is with him and a royal acclamation to greet him. God has brought him out of Egypt. Is like the wild ox's horn to him. There is no omen whatsoever against Jacob. Nothing against Israel. My people may say of Jacob, of Israel, what has God achieved? In other words, the people are going to say, wait a minute, I know him. How did God do this? What did God do for him? How come they're so blessed? For here, verse 24, here is a people like a lioness rising, poised like a lion to spring. That's God's words. Numbers 23, 24, here is a people like a lioness rising, poised like a lion to spring. That's how he described his people. And Amos 3, 7 and 8. Amos 3, 7 and 8. Indeed, the Lord Yahweh does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The lion roars. Who is not afraid? The Lord Yahweh has spoken. Who will not prophesy? It's tied directly. There is a roar of the lion that causes people to shake. It's God's truth to the core. And that roar is tied directly to the prophesying it. In other words, they become his roar for people to hear. They become the roar of God for people to hear. We are the roar of God for people to hear. Now, we've had an interesting manifestations. You're hearing some of them tonight, which is God taking over people, and they start to, until sometimes they start to roar. At least that's kind of what it sounds like. I want to tell you something. Toronto took a whole lot of heat for this a decade or two ago. And I'm understanding it now. I'm understanding why God would do this. I thank God for Toronto for being that point that took a lot of the heat for a lot of us. I'm not encouraging any of you in here to like try to roar. And I encourage you later to talk to any one of these people. Whoa. And ask them later, why are you doing that? And most of them will respond, well, I really didn't have a choice in the matter. The Lord kind of took over. It's not even something I particularly wanted to do. I don't like this kind of attention. You can talk to them, and that's kind of the answers you're going to get. But also, whoa, there's a power that's being issued forth. The Lord's voice is crying out. I want to play for you another video. This is just a clip I got off of YouTube of a lion roaring. Now, what's interesting about this, I looked at a whole bunch of clips, and they're all pretty similar in that usually there's kind of a lead up into some roars, and then afterwards there's more of these afterwards, and it all looks pretty involuntary when you look at it. It's not like they're trying to do it. So just listen to this one. You probably have to do the volume up a little bit on this one, David. So, like I said, pretty consistently looking at a whole bunch of them, that's what it sounds like. And it sounds a whole lot. I honestly hadn't really looked at this and searched this. I know what a lot of these people do when the Lord takes over in certain ways. I'm like, wow, it's kind of like what the lion's doing. I didn't know that's what he did. I'm learning that now. And here's the thing. In Matthew 16:19, it says he's given us the keys to the kingdom. So he not only has all authority, but he's given us the keys to his kingdom. It says in Matthew 28:18-20 that he gives us all of his authority to go and to disciple nations. So this lion that has all the authority, all the power, he gives it to us. And he says, I want you to be my voice. Now, again, I'm not expecting everybody in this room to manifest like this, to roar or whatever you'd want to call it, you know. That's not my concern. My concern is that we understand the authority given to us because we have a responsibility to use it. We have a responsibility to hear from heaven and to proclaim to the earth. How can we do that? Well, you know what? Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we're already in heaven with Christ. It's not like we're going to a place we haven't been. I already told you the key to this is God's already outside of time. Your whole book's been written. He sees it beginning to end to beginning. You're already with him. He says, from this place, you have my authority to roar back into time, his destiny, his purposes, his plans. Whoa, because he wants to co-labor with us. He doesn't have to. He wants to. He chooses to. Most of the time, God chooses to do things when he has agreement with us. I'm not saying that that's the only way he operates, but most of the time, it's because he waits for our agreement. He says, I so love you. I so want to do this with you that I am waiting for your agreement. Let's do this together. You know why? Because that's what lovers do. That's what friends do. He doesn't want to do this alone. He says, let's do this together. Let's make this exciting. This is an amazing journey. This is an amazing life I've given you. Let's do this together. Let's go out on the edge together. Let's go off the map together. Let's do it. So we're going to make some declarations. Can I have the... Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I was going to ask. Did you have something? Oh. Oh, yeah. There's this and there's that. Okay, while you're coming over, let me read one thing, okay? Kelly's going to make her way over here. Kelly heads up our intercession. This is a little booklet called Transported by the Lion of Judah. It's about, it's written by Ann Elmer. It's her visions and, well, her more than visions, it's her experiences with Jesus, who came to her like a lion most of the time and took her to all kinds of places around the world. He really was giving her his perspective of the church to take away the judgment in her eyes. And he was always optimistic. Like, no matter what the church looked like, he's like, but that's okay. They're going to get it. They're going to come around. But I wanted to read just a few pages, a few paragraphs of, this is chapter 3, Spirals on the Wall. By the way, this is not in print anymore, but you can get it audio by going to ElijahList.com. So... anyway, it says, she also, like Ted, where Ted experienced this experience with the Lord in the hospital, she was the same way. She was in the hospital. Because of severe pain and a total lack of energy, I often lay unmoving in bed with eyes closed or just looking at the wall at the bottom of the bed. And that's where the visions started. I felt as though the spots on the wall were becoming spirals, leaping off the wall and moving toward other spirals, joining them and then rushing off out of sight. There were many different colors, even though the wall was just a dull gray with pale blue spots. What I saw made me think of modern Christmas tree lights with different programs for flashing and colors, always changing direction, color, and sequence. Later, I began to see other things on the wall, and one day I saw animals of every kind. There were every sort I could imagine, and they were all rushing in the same direction. Oh, I exclaimed to the Lord, it's just like creation. That's what it is, he replied, and the spirals you see are the DNA. Suddenly I understood. I already knew that DNA could be represented by strips of information, a bit like on a computer tape. But I was seeing the real air. What I was seeing was the real air through my spiritual eyes. The air was and is charged with the creative power of God. He had opened my spiritual eyes to see the air full of his creative breath. I suddenly had the explanation for many Bible stories that I had just thought of as miracles. Now I saw how they had happened. Yes, they were miracles, of course, but they happened because of the DNA present in the air to create and rearrange things at the word of the Lord. When Moses' staff turned into a snake and back again, it was just a quick DNA change. When Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, the hand was just created by the DNA in the air and a creative word from God. There are stories now of the Lord doing creative miracles once more. We just shared several of them earlier tonight. We have our own story, she says, of when the Lord created money and left it on our bedroom floor when we were staying in a friend's house in Ireland. But that's not part of this story. We also know people who have received gold teeth or silver fillings at the hand of the Lord. These situations happen because the Lord has spoken a creative word into the air, which is continually charged with DNA. What a revelation it was to me to know that the air is permanently charged with the same creative power that started the universe. And all it needs is a word from the Creator to make something new. Our God is just as ready today to create new things as He was in the 7 days of Genesis. Do we really believe in a creative, miracle-working God who spoke the universe into being? If we do, and also know His love for us demonstrated in Jesus, then there is nothing He cannot do through us and for us and in us. Absolutely nothing.
Just as a word that you declare causes something to happen in the spiritual realm, the emotions and actions that you take cause things to happen in the spiritual realm too. And so I encourage you, when you feel prompted to do something, even when you don't know what it's doing or why, or it seems silly, like roaring, like holding the sword, like kicking something, stomping, marching, whatever it is, even if it's just moving your arms, you are creating, God is creating a spiritual atmosphere by what you are doing. And each declaration you make, each thing that He calls you to do, is releasing angels. And this year they are waking up even more, and they are gathering, and they are ready for your declarations and for your movements. They reach, what you are doing reaches into the heavens. Whoa. And opens the heavens to make a portal for the angels to come down and go into doing that work.
I really do understand, you know, whether it's people who are sitting here or maybe some listening later on podcasts, that for some people this is just way out there. And I'm not even going to try to apologize, because I've been the old road for too long, where we go through the motions but nothing really happens. And we all go home after doing our duty and then, you know, go back the next week and do it all over again, and I'm done with that. I really am. But I will also tell you, our intent is we're not trying to be weird. We are trying to follow the Lord. And what Jesus says is, test the fruit. Test the fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So test the fruit. I can tell you what's in this place is a hugely increased passion for Jesus. People falling deeply in love with Him, so in love with Him that they finally get their eyes off of themselves and they start moving into the destiny of being world changers. We're seeing miracles. We're seeing changed lives. We're seeing marriages change. We're seeing people healed left and right from depression, from everything else. That's the fruit that I see. So that's why we keep going. And I just needed to say that, and that's about all I'm going to say tonight. Whatever you don't understand, you can ask me later. And I might have an answer. I might not. Did you have anything, Sherry? No? Yeah? Do you have anything, honey? I saw that. Okay. All right. Do you have anything? Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to actually lead us in some declarations. There's sometimes, like right now when we start, where I'm going to encourage you to make some declarations from your chair. They won't always, there's nothing on the screen tonight. In other words, you're going to actually have to engage yourself with the Lord. You're going to actually have to use your own will to make some choices, to make some declarations, okay? Because they will change your future. They will. But you have to actually declare them. And there are going to be other times, I think, where we're going to have an open mic for certain things where we're going to have you come forward. But here's my coaching instruction is again, we're listening to the Lord's heart from heaven and declaring it to earth. And I'm telling you, in heaven, He's not wringing His hands wondering how this thing's going to turn out. And He is not discouraged, and He is not depressed, and He is not afraid. So we're making declarations of faith. We're making declarations of His light and His power and His presence touching earth. Declaration is different than petition. Petition is, oh God, oh God, oh God, please, please, please. And there's actually a place for that. I'm not putting that down. There's absolutely a place for that in our lives. But I'm saying that's not what we're doing tonight. Tonight we're declaring from heaven to earth. We're making declarations of God's heart into our situations. This is Carl.
Hi. I do have one thing. The personal declarations that you do make, be sure and write them down. I use 3x5 cards, and I just go through my cards every day, and I speak them forth. So tonight, God will plant it in your heart if He hasn't already, but then take them and write them down and speak them until they come to pass.
Very practical and very good. And I'm going to make a different declaration, and that is that by making these declarations, your life is going to be changed tonight.
And I just want to add something I was seeing during worship tonight. And that was, I was seeing us receiving truth. And the truth isn't just truth. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It is substance. And just like we were hearing about that creative DNA, the truth comes in and changes your DNA. You're already eternal beings, supernatural beings. And we're just in these bodies are the only things that are temporary. And it's like we get hold of the eternal truth. And the eternal part of us, the supernatural part of us, gains strength as we take these truths in. They like become cement in our very bones. They bring strength to strength. They take you from glory to glory. The truth is substance. It becomes you. And I was seeing in worship Jesus handing me from His side, handing me from His flesh. Here, take up the truth of who I am, and you are becoming me more and more and more. The truth of who He is becoming stuff, is making us being transformed from glory to glory.
Awesome, Susan. Thank you. That's truth right there. This is our intercessor drummer team that's up here tonight, and they're going to be kind of flowing with us with what we're doing tonight. And I think because I really don't know, honestly, but I think that tonight later we're going to end tonight with some sort of a fire tunnel, but a victory tunnel for this new year, which is just our way of kind of sending you down the middle of a gauntlet of people on either side of you, blessing your socks off and helping you to walk into a new place. So I'm just telling you now, because later on, I'm not sure how well I'll be able to explain that. And plus, some of you may want to stay for that. As always, you're welcome to go anytime you want. You can come and go anytime you want. But tonight, we may not have an exact ending point. You know, like, you just may stay until you feel like it's time to go. So go ahead, drummers, start drumming. And I want to encourage you just to receive. I'll direct you some as we get to some of the declarations, but I just want you to get to a place of receiving right now. Looks like our kids are coming back in to join us. So if you have children, go ahead and, you know, help them engage if you can with what we're doing. So Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, 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 we thank you for your presence. We thank you for walking in our midst. And we just declare from the beginning, Jesus, who you are. This is something we can declare with 100% certainty. We don't have to wonder. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, you are the beginning and the end. Jesus, you are the life. You are the light. If you have other ones on your tongue, speak them out. Jesus, you are the river of living water, Jesus. Everything flows from you. The spring of life. A wellspring of life, Jesus. In you is light. Resurrection life. In you there is no darkness at all. Whoa. Just, this is how you fix your gaze on Jesus. Some of you are visual. You can see Jesus. Or you might see a lion. Others of you are not. That's okay. Although I do declare for all of us more and more revelation, more and more vision into the unseen realm. But for some of you, just fixing your gaze on the truth of who He is begins to take you in. This is also what you do when you're at home. You do the same thing. Jesus, 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 you are amazing. You are the all-powerful, all-sufficient one, Jesus. You are beautiful. Wow. Oh, Jesus. 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 No one like you. There's no one like you, Jesus. Good all the time. Oh, Jesus. Full of mercy, full of grace, full of love. Full of power. All authority is yours, Jesus. All of it. Whoa. You're welcome here, Jesus. We're asking you. Oh, just take over, take over, take over. Holy Spirit, lead every bit of this right now. Take over, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Whoa. Jesus. Wow. Jesus. Whoa. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is here. Whoa, you're here. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. So fix your gaze on the one who loves you. Fix your gaze on the one who saved you. Fix your gaze on the one who wants you with all of his heart. And fix your gaze on the one who co-labors with you to change the world. So I declare over you that you are a world changer. You are a world changer. You are a world changer. And if you agree with that, I want you to say, I am a world changer. Whoa. Get used to speaking out tonight. Get used to declaring with your mouth. I am a world changer. Whoa. Because of Christ in me, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Whoa. I am victorious. Oh, I am victorious. I am victorious. In life. Yes. Whoa. In Christ, I am blessed. In Christ, I am favored. Highly favored. Highly favored. I am highly favored. That's right. Lord, there isn't anything you wouldn't do for me. I'm your boy. I'm your daughter. I just tell him, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your prince. I'm your princess. I belong to you. Whoa. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Okay, from this place, see, the atmosphere changes when you start agreeing with God's heart for yourself. When you start seeing who He is and who you really are, it changes things. Wow. And what I want you to do is to begin to speak out the victory in your own life. In your own life. I'm not talking about others yet. We're going to do that later. I want to talk about your own life. Declaring the victory of Christ in your own life. Whoa. Wow. In Christ, my destiny is secure. Whoa. I am an overcomer. Oh, I am victorious. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. Whoa. Wow, because of Christ in me, I have overcome the world. Oh. Whoa. Jesus has overcome the world. Christ is in you. That's why you can say these things. It's true. It's true. It's true. I'm victorious over sin. I am victorious over strongholds. Jesus is my stronghold. Whoa. Because I have the mind of Christ. Oh. And I am that overcomer. Oh. Nothing is going to stop me from fulfilling my destiny in Christ. Oh. The old is gone. The new has come. The old is gone. The new has come. The old is gone. The new has come. In Christ, I'm a new creation. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I'm going to ask the drummers to pick it up because I want you to make some declarations over your own life. You know what it is that you are an overcomer. Instead of feeling like the victim or the wall that's in your way, you declared something different. You declare with Christ in you the victory in your life over everything that has stood in the way. You declare the victory for yourself. Do it now. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it as a finished work. Sin has lost its grip on you. Jesus has you. Whoa. You are amazing. You are supernatural. You have the power and authority of Jesus to change the world, to change circumstances around you by declaring His purposes, His promises. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Okay, I want you to, on the count of three, I want you to declare some things over your life. Okay? The first thing we're going to declare is freedom. All right? On the count of three. One, two, three. Freedom! All right, we're going to keep going. Wow, I'm telling you, Things are breaking right now. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Just lighter. Keep going. Okay, we're going to do more of this. We're going to declare some more. Wow. Whoa, 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 whoa. All right. We need grace for everything. We cannot do a thing on our own power. God says, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you to change things. So we're going to declare grace over our lives. We're going to declare grace. We're going to yell grace over our lives. Are you ready? Go ahead. Pick it up, Carl. Louder. Grace on the count of three over your life. One, two, three. Grace! Yes! Grace, 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 grace. Yes, Lord. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wow, 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 wow. All right, we're going to yell favor, favor over your own life. On the count of three, one, two, three, favor! Yes! Whoa! Whoa, favor! The favor of the Lord rests upon you. The favor of God is upon you. The favor, outrageous favor, massive favor, lives with you. Keep going, but just a little lower. All right, all right. Next one. This is what we're gonna pray. We're gonna declare, and this is for you and your household. We're gonna declare provision. Provision is what we're going to yell, but I want to tell you what's going to happen. It's all yours anyway in Christ. We're agreeing with heaven that nothing would stand in the way of the provision of everything you need. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, therefore you lack nothing. What do you lack? Nothing. But we're going to agree with heaven because that's what we're doing tonight, because agreement changes things. It's one thing to think it in your head. It's an entirely another thing to agree wholeheartedly with your being. So we're declaring provision over you and your household. Wow. So thank you, God, for the open heavens that are ours in Christ. The riches that are ours in Christ. Everything we need. So, in fact, as we're yelling this, as we're yelling provision, I also invite you to let go with both hands. Let go of any stress, anxiety, worry. You can just throw the bills there too, you know, just like let it go as you decry provision. One, two, three. Provision! Yes, Lord. Oh, all of heaven's provision. All of heaven's provision. All of heaven's provision. Whoa. Wow. I'm telling you, things are changing. Things are shifting. There's a lot of busy angels tonight because you're agreeing with God, and that's what makes the difference. Whoa. All right. Here's what we're going to do next. We're going to make one more declaration. Only this time it's for all the people that you love, those around you, your family, your friends who don't know Jesus yet. We're going to yell salvation over them. But I want to tell you something. Here's a prayer I pray all the time. If you got people who you love who don't know the Lord, can I encourage you not to work yourself up into such a frenzy and get really upset, and so much so that you're like almost angry when you see them? That's just not a good plan. You know, like, why aren't you getting it yet? That doesn't work. Here's the prayer that I pray all the time. I say, Holy Spirit, go get them. Jesus, make yourself irresistible to them where they can't say no. Because it's all His work anyway. It really is. Do we have a part? Yes, we do. We're supposed to reflect the love and the joy and the light of Jesus. But I want to tell you something. It is not your responsibility to save them. Because you can't, because Jesus already did that for you. So take that weight off of your shoulders and instead start loving them and pray prayers like, Holy Spirit, go get them. Jesus, make yourself irresistible. And then just love them. All right? But we're going to declare salvation over them. This is a cool thing. In a book I read a while back by Buck, someone Buck, Roland Buck. An angel visited him over and over again, and they had long conversations. And the Lord told him that family is God's idea. Families are God's idea, and He wants whole families in heaven together. And He said, when one person comes to Jesus, out of honor for that person who came to the Lord, an angel is assigned to every other member of that family. And that angel's job is to work things out to keep bringing them around to that place where they can say yes to Jesus. And if they miss that opportunity, they just bring them around again and again and again. Because families is God's idea. He wants families together in heaven. So we're going to declare, we're going to agree with that heart and declare salvation. And Lord, while we're at it, in addition to this salvation being for those that we love, our family and friends, we're just saying, God, we send this cry out to 6+ billion souls across the earth. That Jesus, your heart is for every single one to be saved. Jesus, you want your banquet table filled to the brim. Filled, filled, filled. So on the count of three, we're crying out salvation. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Salvation! Salvation to the ends of the earth. Whoa. Whoa. And we are crying out. We're crying out to all the prodigals to come home. Come home. All the sons and daughters out there who forgot who they are, who forgot their father who adores them. We're saying, come home. You know what? We're going to cry that together to all the prodigals. We're just going to call out to them, come home. One, two, three. Come home! Yes, it's time. It's time. It's time to come home. Time to come home to your daddy who loves you.